Okay, so today's scripture will be from Colossians 2, verses 1 through 7, and it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 900. I want you to know how much I struggle for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have known me personally. My goal is that their hearts would be encouraged and united together in love, so that they might have all the riches of assurance that come with understanding, so that they might have the knowledge of the secret plan of God, namely Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. I'm telling you this so that no one deceives you with convincing arguments, because even though I am absent physically, I am with you in spirit. I am happy to see the discipline and stability of your faith in Christ. So live in Christ, that the Lord, in the same way that you received him, be rooted and built up in him, be established in faith and overflowing with thanksgiving, just as you were taught. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thank you, Thane. So we close out our series on the three simple rules. Those rules being do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And so today we're going to focus on that third rule of staying in love with God. And in my mind, this is really the most important rule, because without this third rule, the other two are awfully hard to do. The first one, doing no harm, is a very basic rule that we understand, that it's something that we teach even young children to do no harm to others. And then the second, of course, is do good. I think that most of us, with any semblance of a moral compass, are told to do good in the world. That's something that we are meant to do no matter what our background, no matter what our religious tradition is. But the important thing that we need to understand is that doing good in the world can sometimes be difficult. Doing good in the world can sometimes wear us out. So we need that strength to be able to do this, to be able to be consistent in doing no harm and doing good. And in the order for us to do that, we need to keep our relationship with the Lord our God strong and as powerful as we can. And so we're reminded today, most especially of the greatest commandment, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so as I think about this greatest commandment, I realize that there are three components of this greatest commandment. The first component of the greatest commandment is the love that we are to have for God. That is the first part, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second part of this is the love that we are to have for others. And so love of neighbor is the second part of the greatest commandment. And then the third and last part is the love that we are to have for ourselves. All three of these things are important. You think about that acronym that I'm sure that you've heard many times, but I'll express it again, that acronym of joy, that we should put Jesus as the focus of our lives first, and then secondly, others, and lastly, ourselves. Jesus, others, yourself. And it's all expressed in the greatest commandment that we are to follow. And so I think that we need to start maybe with the basics, with the very beginning. That how deep, how wide, and incredible God's love is for us. And so I think about that at the very beginning of creation, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, every plant, every animal, everything, that he created us last, human beings. And we were created in the image of God, that we are the closest in all of creation to God than anything else, and God ordained it in that way, that he loved us so much that we are first and foremost and most important in his creation, and we are made in his image. But we have fallen short. We sinned. We've not lived up to the standard that God has set for us. And God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be condemned by our sin. He doesn't want us to be condemned by the wrongs that we've committed toward others and toward his creation. And so at a point in time, God sent his own son, Jesus, into the world to save us from our sin, to give us the gift of salvation, the gift of grace, the gift of eternal life. Reminded of those words from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever lives and believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." I think God's love is summed up for us very easily in this one verse. And so if we know how deeply God loves us, if we know how powerfully God feels about us, that he loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for our sins, we should be shouting with joy in worship. We should be giving him all of the glory, all the honor and praise that he so richly deserves. It should be shouted from the rooftops. But it's not always done that way. We don't always give God the praise and honor that he so richly deserves. Why do you think that is? I think there are lots of reasons for it. Maybe we feel like we're too busy. Maybe we feel like we're caught up in ourselves. Maybe something happened in our lives, maybe a tragedy, something horrible, that maybe we're disappointed in God. Maybe we're even angry with God. Maybe something happened in the church that hurt you, and that made you angry with God. Others forget. Others don't bother, and others simply don't believe. There are many reasons that we disconnect from our relationship with God. But I think it's important for us, as a church family, as a people who are seeking after God's own heart, to make sure that we are finding every way that we can to rekindle that relationship that we have with the Lord, to make it as strong and as powerful and as passionate as it possibly can be, so that we can live our lives for him and for his sake. And so I thought about that. How do we make sure that we focus our lives in such a way that we stay in love with God? And I think it's so perfect that we're talking about this in February. Here we are, February the 4th. January is over, and Ash Wednesday is just a few short days away. Ash Wednesday, the very beginning of Lent, starts on Valentine's Day of all days. And so I think that it's so apropos, so powerful, that we celebrate Ash Wednesday on Valentine's Day, a day that's meant to express love. And so Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life on Calvary and died for the sake of our sins. So we need to repent. We need to believe in the gospel and rekindle that relationship that we have with Christ in our hearts once again. But as I mentioned, Valentine's Day is also a day of love, a day in which we're supposed to look to our significant other and express our gratitude for them, to express how much we love them, how much they mean to our lives. And there are lots of different ways that we do that. There's flowers, cards, gifts, dinners out, letters. If you guys need some suggestions, you might want to write this down. There are a few different ways that we do that, lots of different ways that we rekindle that relationship on Valentine's Day. And so I thought that it would be interesting to see, looking at Valentine's Day and how we're to build relationships with the people we love, most especially our spouse, how do we do that? And so I Googled how to make sure that you stay in love with your significant other. And I found that there were like a million different articles that give you some wisdom and insight. And so I looked at a few of these articles and I saw some commonalities in them. And so I made a list that I found. And so you'll have to tell me what you think of this. And I think that many of these, not all of them, but many of these also tie into our relationship that we have with God. And so the first part is carving out us time. It's important with the person that you love to find opportunities to reconnect, to be just with one another. Having quality time is an important and special thing. Secondly, connecting throughout the day, whether that's cute and sweet text messages, whether it's a nice note in your lunchbox as you go to your work. So many different ways that we connect with our loved ones. Giving appreciation, saying how much you're thankful for the person you love, that you enjoy their cooking, maybe you enjoy how nice and clean the house is, maybe you enjoy different things that they do just for you, expressing appreciation. Number 4, trying new things. Maybe it's going out, simply going out to somewhere that you wouldn't normally go out. Maybe doing something that you normally wouldn't do. Maybe something like going bowling if you haven't done that in years. Lots of different things that you can do. Number five, making your spouse laugh. Life is too short to be angry and miserable, isn't it? You need to find joy in the relationships that you have. Then number six, of course, praising your loved one's physical appearance. How they look. Appreciating how pretty their hair is, or maybe how nice they look in whatever clothing that they're wearing that day, whatever the case might be. And so I think about these things that you do to stay in love with your spouse, and I think that a lot of these are very similar to what we should be doing in our relationship with God. I think about number one, carving out us time. It's so important for us, whether it be early in the morning or late at night when everybody else has gone to sleep, to carve out some time between you and God. Spending time in prayer. Spending time just having a conversation with God. I think prayer many times can just be that, having a conversation with God, expressing our gratitude, expressing how much God means to us, thinking about so many things that God has done for us in our lives. And then, of course, connecting throughout the day. I find that if I'm going into something particularly stressful, that it's such a powerful thing to be able to pray before I go do that stressful thing. And it can make it so much better. It can give me an inner peace if I'm finding time to connect with God throughout the day. And then third, giving appreciations. I think this is really important, that we express our gratitude to God, that we're just able to get up in the morning, just that we're able to breathe the nice, crisp, cool air that God has provided, the blessings that he's given us. And so every night, we as a family do just that. We express the things that we're thankful for, and we get even Lily to do that too. And she says that she's thankful for things such as mommy and daddy and mom and pop-pop and grandma and grandpa and chicken nuggets and Paw Patrol too. Some of the things that she expresses gratitude. And for twirling. She likes to twirl now. That's a new thing that she likes too. And so I think even laughing, I think God loves for us to be jovial, to laugh, to be able to have joy in our lives. I think six obviously doesn't apply, but five out of six apply. So I think it's incredible for us and important for us to understand that we need to find every way that we can to stay connected with God. And so, in the book, Three Simple Rules, Reuben Job lays out some ordinances that John Wesley gives his followers to make sure that we stay in love with God. So Rachel, if you can show that slide for us, please. These are John Wesley, who is the founder of Methodism's ordinances, which means rules, things that every Christian should be doing on a regular basis to make sure that we are staying in love with God. Six things that every one of us should be doing. And so the first is public worship of God, making sure that we are faithful Sunday after Sunday, coming into this place, singing God's praises, saying how thankful for you we are for everything God has done for us, praying for one another, giving of our tithes and offerings, and hearing God's word proclaimed. Public worship of God. Secondly, celebrating the Lord's Supper, which we are going to do today. This is the table of grace. It is the reminder. It is letting us know that Jesus broke his body and he shed his blood to forgive us of our sins. That when we receive this, the Holy Spirit is literally present in the bread and in the cup, that we can feel God's grace at work within us when we celebrate the Lord's table. So this is an important part of what we do and who we are. Then third is private and family prayer. Make sure that we are praying individually and also praying with your family on a regular basis. It's amazing just how much unity it creates in your family, how much closer you feel to each other if you're praying for each other and you're praying all together as a family. It's a powerful thing. And then number four, searching the scriptures. So how does the scripture inform your life? Like if you're going through something, how does scripture inform what it is that you're going through? So being able to use the scripture and apply it to your life. Then number five, of course, is Bible study, making sure that you're finding ways to regularly be engaged in the Word. And so Sunday school is coming up. I urge you to join a class if you haven't already. Bible study is important. And then lastly, fasting. There are lots of different ways that we can fast. It doesn't just have to be food, but I think sometimes it's important to fast from this. What do you think? There are lots of different ways that we can fast, but we are to use that time to connect to the Lord. And so these ordinances, I firmly believe, if we do these on a regular basis, our relationship with God will be stronger than it's ever been before. And so the scripture passage that Thane read to us just a little bit ago, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. And what he writes to them is that Paul has been through his fair share of trials and tribulations. Paul, for the sake of the gospel, has been put into prison. He's been beaten. He's been tortured. He's been had his very life threatened many, many, many times. So many are trying to kill him. But yet, through all of this, through all these trials and tribulations, Paul is faithful to the gospel. And he is always and very passionately sharing with others about Jesus Christ and the good news. So how can that be? If he's been tortured and beaten and thrown into prison and his life threatened on a regular basis, how does Paul stay in love with God through all of that? And so he writes this in verses 2 and 3. He says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge." And so we are together to be encouraged in heart and united in love. That's how we keep our relationship with him strong, is that we have courage, that we are encouraged in heart and united in love for one another and also in God. There are lots of different things, lots of temptations, lots of trials that we're going to go through that will try to derail our relationship with the Lord. And so we need to know that we need to stay strong. Verses 6 and 7 say this, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." So listen to this. When we go through trials and tribulations, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. And so I think about these ordinances. Public worship of God, the Lord's Supper, private and family prayers, searching the Scripture, Bible study, fasting. If we do these things, they will help us to stay in love with God and give us everything that we need to be faithful and steadfast when it comes to Him. And so let us remember these three simple rules. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. It is my prayer that you have written those rules upon your heart, and they'll inform your life and change it for the better. And so I want to read this scripture passage that I think really ties it all together. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. I think these words are important. It's about the kind of life that we're to lead. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21, and it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So we need to live our life knowing that we are Christ's ambassadors, as if Jesus himself is pleading with the world to follow him through us. So remember that your one life that God has given you, your one life can make a difference. Your one life can be a blessing to somebody else, that you can be a witness of God's love. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to remember these three simple rules: to do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with you, O God. Help us to remember to be faithful to you, Lord, to always connect to you, to always pray, to celebrate this holy meal, to search your scriptures, to fast, and to give of our time and who we are to you. Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful enough to keep that relationship strong and powerful. Help us, O God, to be rooted and built up in your love, Help us to be passionate followers of you and your Son, Jesus. If we are faithful in this, we will be Jesus' ambassadors, sharing your love with others far and wide. It is in your holy and precious name, O God, that we pray. Amen.